Dr. Christian's office.
The Vaseline Program, the only program in radio where the audience writes the show. Tonight, the spotlight is on Charlotte, North Carolina. And the prize goes to Louise Pickens, 1233 East Boulevard, for her play, Our Daughter Barbara, starring Jean Hersholt as Dr. Christian, with Rosemary DeCamp as Judy Price. What is this dry scalp I hear so much about? Well, that's what a lot of men ask. Well, it's just about one of the commonest troubles that men have. It means dry, lifeless hair that's hard to comb, loose, flaky dandruff, that tight, itchy feeling. Combat dry scalp. Check it quickly, easily, with Vaseline Hair Tonic. Just 5 drops a day keep dry scalp away. That's why there are more bottles of Vaseline Hair Tonic sold today than any other hair tonic in America. Vaseline Hair Tonic checks dry scalp, supplements natural scalp oils. It leaves your scalp feeling better, makes your hair alive-looking, yet easy to manage. Use Vaseline Hair Tonic also before shampooing with massage to help loosen dandruff. Vaseline Hair Tonic contains no alcohol or any other drying ingredients. Get a bottle of Vaseline Hair Tonic tonight. Tonight, Dr. Christian and Judy Price are paying a social call on Stephen and Laura Marshall. We find them now in the spacious living room of the Marshall home. While Laura and Judy chat of clothes and homemaking and other such subjects dear to feminine hearts, Dr. Christian and Steve are engrossed in a game of chess.
Your move, Dr. Christian.
Let's see. There.
Checkmate.
Neatly played.
Just wait till the judge hears about this, Dr. Christian. You'll be glad to know that somebody in town can beat you at chess.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the new chess champion of River's End. Steve, I'm proud of you.
Oh, this is quite a shock to my ego. I've always been rather proud of my strategies.
And rightly so. You were a tough opponent.
What? Barbara, dear, what's the matter?
Oh, don't go away. Don't leave us.
Laura isn't going to leave us. She knows we'd never let her.
But she was gone. I wanted her and I couldn't find her anywhere.
Oh, you've been dreaming, honey. You see, Laura's right here.
Will she stay here with us always, Dad?
Oh, of course, dear. I'll stay right here with you always. And now it's time for you to scoot back to bed. I'll go along and tuck you in. Say goodnight to everybody.
Good night, Dr. Christian. Good night, Judy.
Good night,
Good night, my dear.
Pardon me, Mrs. Marshall.
Yes, Mrs. Page, what is it?
A telephone for you. A gentleman who says it's very important.
Oh, very well. I'll take it on the phone in the study. Will you take Barbara up to bed?
Oh, yes, surely.
Run along with Mrs. Page, darling. She'll tuck you in comfy, and I'll see you first thing in the morning.
All right, Laura.
Excuse me a moment. I won't be long. Hello? Oh, Carl. Carl, I've told you not to call me here. I know you've been waiting, but I haven't been able to get it. No. No, you mustn't. Please, Carl, you've got to give me time. Yes. By Friday. But that's only 4 days. All right, I'll let you know, but don't try to get in touch with me here. I'll call you. Yes. At the hotel. Oh, dear, what am I going to do now?
You've been such a long time. Dr. Christian and Judy say they must be leaving. I want to say good. Why, darling, what's wrong? You're so pale, don't you feel well?
Oh, I'm all right, dear. Just a slight headache. Guess I got a little too much sun while I was out in the river with Barbara this afternoon. It's nothing, really.
You're sure?
Of course. Come on now, and don't give it another thought. Dr. Christian, what's this Steve tells me about your leaving? You can't be going already. It's still early.
I know, but Judy and I have quite a full schedule tomorrow.
We must get together soon for another game, Doctor.
Oh, I don't know about that, Steve. You're too good for me. If I played against you very often, I wouldn't have any illusions left.
We enjoyed the evening so much. It was nice of you to come in. Come back soon, both of you.
We'd like to. Good night.
Good night, Steve. See you soon, Laura.
Good night.
Oh, that was fun.
Yes, a very pleasant evening. Steve and Laura are a charming couple.
Oh, yes. And isn't it wonderful the way Laura and Barbara get along together?
Yes, they're devoted to each other. As much as if they were actually mother and daughter.
Wonder wonder why a telephone call should frighten her so.
Frighten her? Why, what do you mean?
Well, didn't you notice? When she came back, she was as white as a sheet.
Oh, you must have imagined it.
No, Dr. Christian, I'm positive, and she was all right before the call. You probably know her better than anyone else in town. Except Steve, of course. What do you know about her, after all?
Not a great deal. She came to Riverbend about 2 years ago. You know the story.
Oh, of course I know. She was rushed to the hospital from a bad smash-up on the River Road. And for several weeks, it was doubtful if even you could save her. You always believed she deliberately plunged through that guardrail, didn't you, Doctor?
Well, it seemed a rather unlikely accident. Also, her recovery seemed much against her will.
Then she decided to stay here in River's End, and Mr. Clark took her on as an assistant in his interior decorating shop. Wasn't it romantic the way she met Steve? Being sent out to his house when he commissioned Mr. Clark to redecorate it. And they fell in love and were married. Sounds just like the plot for a movie. And they're so happy together.
There you see, you know just as much about her as I do.
Oh, yes, I know all that. But I meant, do you know anything about her before she came here?
No, not a thing, Judy.
Wonder who called her and why she was so scared.
Oh, nonsense, Judy. You imagine it. Oh, here we are at your house already.
Well, good night, Dr. Christian.
Good night. See you in the morning.
Dr. Christian, now that all the office appointments are taken care of, why don't you just relax and rest for a little while? You aren't due at the hospital for another 45 minutes. You've been working awfully hard all day.
Uh-oh. Hello, Judy. Dr. Christian.
Oh, hello, Laura.
Laura, this is a pleasant surprise.
Dr. Christian, are you terribly busy? Could I talk to you?
Why, no, I'm not busy. As a matter of fact, I have about 45 minutes with nothing to do. Come along into my office. Oh, no, have this chair. It's more comfortable. Now, what's on your mind?
Well, Dr. Christian, I need help, and you're the only person in River's End I could turn to. You'll probably say I don't deserve any help.
I'm afraid I can't very well judge until I've heard what it's all about.
Well, I'd better tell you from the beginning. It all began back in Hamilton about 3 years ago. I was working at a decorating shop. That's where I met this man. He was a friend of Maggie's. She owned the shop, and quite often came in to see her. When he was young, good-looking, and lots of fun. I was flattered and pleased when he began making a special point of stopping to talk to me. We started going out together, and, well, I found I was in love with him. I knew he was married. He told me that, but he said he and his wife hadn't lived together for months, and so, of course, I thought he intended to get a divorce so we could be married.
Then you found he had no such plan?
Yes. Just remembering it makes me feel cheap and sordid. We'd arranged to spend our vacations at a lake resort upstate. I was to call him when I was packed, and he'd pick me up. Well, about 10 o'clock I called, and a woman's voice answered. When I asked for Carl, she said, "I'm sorry, Mr. Gilbert's in the shower. Would you care to leave a message? This is Mrs. Gilbert speaking." Well, I was stunned. In that moment, I suddenly realized he'd never meant to ask for a divorce. And I was sick with shame and disgust over what I'd been about to do. I wanted to get away from everyone I knew. I had my car brought around, took my packed bags, and drove out of town. I didn't know where I was going, and I didn't care.
So then you tried to end your life by crashing down the embankment on the river road just outside of town, and 5 days later, in the hospital, you regained consciousness.
Yes. I was furious that my little scheme had failed. Would have been far better if I hadn't lived.
Oh, but, my dear, that's in the past. All over and done. Surely you can't think that Steve would object to the fact that you were in love with another man before you married him?
Well, I guess I'd better tell you the rest and get it over with. Dr. Christian, do you remember back in the winter when Barbara was very ill with a severe cold and you were afraid it might develop into pneumonia?
Oh, yes. And I also remember the wonderful care you took of her, disregarding any thought for your own comfort until she was out of danger.
But that was a sort of penance for a guilty conscience, Doctor. I was trying to make a bargain with fate. I thought if I took exceptional care of Barbara, the same as her own mother would have done, well, it might in some way make up for what I'd done that night, and Steve would never have to know. You see, I'd been out with Carl.
You what?
Oh, I know it was a stupid, childish thing to do, but Steve and I had just had our first quarrel that day, and I wanted to do something to make him as miserable as I was.
But he was out of town at the time Barbara was ill, wasn't he?
Yes, and that was just the trouble. He had to go to Chicago on business, and I was going along, and then on the day we were to leave, Barbara wasn't feeling well. Well, Steve absolutely refused to take me with him. Said if I really loved Barbara, I wouldn't want to leave her when she was sick. I was hurt and angry that he should put Barbara ahead of me.
So when Carl called that evening, you went out with him just to spite Steve?
Yes, that's about it. Of course, I regretted it the moment I left the house.
But it was nearly 3 o'clock when you got home.
Yes. You were already there with Barbara when I came in.
Mrs. Page had become alarmed at Barbara's condition and called me. I remember thinking at the time that it was strange you should be out so late, but then I became so concerned about Barbara. I had never given it a second thought.
Well, for weeks I was terrified that somehow Steve would find out. But time went on and nothing happened to give me away, so I was beginning to feel safe again. Then one afternoon I came in from downtown and Mrs. Page told me someone was waiting in the study to see me. I went right in.
Carl Gilbert, what are you doing here?
Well, that isn't a very cordial welcome for an old friend. One you haven't seen for, let's see, how long has it been? 5 months? You know, you weren't very good company that night. We didn't have as gay a time as we did back in Hamilton.
I've forgotten those days, Carl.
Oh, I could understand your preoccupation. You were too worried about the little girl. She was ill at the time, I believe. You were so insistent on getting home. Quite the devoted mother.
Just what are you getting at?
Getting at? Why, nothing. I've always found reminiscing rather entertaining. Especially when one has so many beautiful moments to remember as you and I.
Carl, if this is all you've come for...
Oh, don't tell me you've forgotten, Laura. Oh, perhaps you have, though. You've changed a great deal. Charming young matron of River's End. I must say the whole role is very becoming. You did very well for yourself when you married this Stephen Marshall. Mm-hmm. Quite a setup you have here. Wouldn't it be a shame if something happened to make you lose it all?
Really, Carl, this is intolerable. I can't imagine why you came here, and I want you to leave at once.
All right. I'll tell you why I came. Helen's left me. For good this time. You may have known all the money was hers. Now I'm flat broke. While considering ways and means of acquiring a little money, I naturally thought of you. I want
$5,000. $5,000? That's utterly preposterous. Even if I had $5,000, why do you think I'd lend it to you?
Oh, but darling, you misunderstood me. I'm not asking for a loan.
Well, then what do you want?
I think you'll get the idea after I point out a few pertinent bits of information. First, your husband Stephen Marshall's previous marriage ended when his wife was killed in an accident. Second, about a year after the death of Julie Marshall, her mother, Agatha Rogers, went to court seeking custody of the Marshall child on the grounds that Steve Marshall was not capable of rearing the child properly. Well, the case was sensational. Played up big in papers all over the country. I gather that old Mrs. Rogers is still bitter over her defeat. Possibly might be interested in instituting a case. Purely for revenge. This time on the grounds that the stepmother is a bad influence on the little girl. And if she had evidence to that effect, she'd stand a good chance to win.
And where is she supposed to get such evidence?
Oh, I'm coming to that. You see, I have some other interesting letters written by a girl very much in love. Now, there's nothing wrong in a love letter. But these are rather indiscreet, considering the fact that they were written to a married man.
Carl, you didn't keep my letters.
Mm-hmm. And these letters, together with the fact that you went out with me when your husband was away and the child was sick, might swing a jury to Mrs. Rogers' side. you don't think it's worth $5,000, sure I can make a bargain with the old gal.
That's blackmail.
Oh, darling. Blackmail's such a harsh word. Let's just say I have something you want very badly. And the price is $5,000. So we'll make a mutually beneficial trade. Well, what do you say? Is your marriage worth $5,000 to you?
You've got to give me time to think, Carl.
Will you let me know tomorrow? I'll call you.
No, don't call. We can't talk here. I'll meet you downtown somewhere. There's a small tea room on Elm Street. I'll meet you there tomorrow at 2:30. There won't be so many people there at that time.
Okay. I'll be there. 2:30. Yeah.
I managed to pay him $2,000 at the time, and he promised to wait 6 weeks for the balance. But now he says he can't wait any longer. That if I don't have it for him by tomorrow, he'll go to Mrs. Rogers. Dr. Christian, what can I do? Steve and I have a joint bank account, but I couldn't possibly draw $3,000 out without his knowing it. I'm desperate, and there's nobody I can go to for help.
I think you're wrong about that. Why not Steve?
You don't mean you think I should tell Steve?
Don't you think it would be much better to confess it yourself than for him to find out from someone else?
Oh, no. No, Steve mustn't know. I'm sure there must be some way. If I could only think what to do. Won't you help me, Dr. Christian? Please. Not for my sake. I know I don't deserve it. But so that Steve and Barbara won't be so hurt.
Oh, very well. I'll think it over and see if there's anything I can do.
Judy, Dr. Christian in? Telephone said it was urgent that I meet him here at once.
Oh, yes.
What's up, anyway? You sounded awfully mysterious.
Well, I don't know what's up, but you'll soon find out, Steve. Dr. Christian just called. He'll be right in. He wants you to wait for him.
Okay.
Oh, here he is now.
Oh, hello, Dr. Christian. Came over as soon as I could. What's up?
Hello, Steve. Oh, come on in, Mr. Gilbert.
Did you say Steve? Steve Marshall?
That's right. Steve, Mr. Gilbert here has a little proposition that should interest you. And now, if you'll come into my office, we can discuss it. You too, Judy. Come on in. You'll make a competent witness.
Dr. Christian, I thought you were... Steve. Carl.
What goes on here?
Dr. Christian, please.
Now, don't worry. Everything is going to be all right.
Will somebody please explain what this is all about?
Well, Mr. Gilbert, I believe it's up to you, and I suggest you make it short and to the point.
All right. The point is, I've got some information that I'm sure old Mrs. Rogers would be willing to buy. But I thought I'd be fair about it and give Laura a chance at it first, if she'd meet my price.
Meaning exactly what?
Oh, I don't suppose Laura's ever told you, has she, that we were very good friends back in Hamilton? I have several letters from her that would, no doubt, interest old Mrs. Rogers very much. Of course, these letters alone would be valueless. But they, together with the fact that while you were out of town, she left her stepdaughter, who is ill, to keep a date with me, might convince a jury that our charming little affair had not ended with her marriage.
Why, you dirty...
Now, Steve, let Mr. Gilbert finish.
As I've told Laura, for $5,000, I'll forget the whole thing and not go to Mrs. Rogers.
Do you really consider it so valuable? If I understand correctly, your point is that Mrs. Rogers would be willing to pay you for the letters if you can prove that Laura was out with you the night the little girl was ill?
Correct, Doctor.
I really don't believe that would be good enough. I'm sure my reputation for honesty and integrity is such that any Rivers End jury would accept my word that Laura is a good mother.
So, that's your game, Doctor.
And now that that's settled, I think you'd better go. The train for Hamilton leaves in just about a half an hour. I'd suggest that you be on it.
You're very smug. The bunch of you.
He was telling the truth, wasn't he, Laura?
Now, Steve, I...
Please, please keep out of this, Dr. Christian. I appreciate what you've done, but I can see from Laura's face it was all true.
You see, Dr. Christian, I told you we wouldn't understand.
Understand? What is there to understand? Except the fact you neglected my daughter to go out with another man. Evidently, he means more to you than Barbara does.
Oh, Barbara. Barbara. You never think of anyone else. Why did you marry me in the first place? Because you wanted me for your wife, or merely to get somebody to take care of that precious child of yours?
Naturally, I assumed you were willing to accept the responsibility of my child.
Well, I've heard enough. Now that you despise me so thoroughly, there'll be no use in our trying to go on together.
Laura, wait.
Well, is there something else you want to say? Something you've forgotten?
Oh, yes. Yes, for a moment, I'd forgotten that I love you very much.
Oh, Steve.
There, don't cry, sweetheart. Here, dry your eyes and we'll go home.
All right. And we'd better hurry, too. I promised Barbara a picnic supper tonight. She'll be wondering where we are. Goodbye, Dr. Christian. Thank you for everything.
It was nothing. Let's just forget it.
Be seeing you, Doctor. So long.
For a minute there, I thought he was going to let her walk right out.
Yes, I'll admit that I had me worried, too. I was beginning to doubt the wisdom of my move, but I was counting on their love for each other. And after all, it's the closing play that wins the game.
And the curtain descends on another Dr. Christian Prize play with our star, Jean Hershel, waiting to greet you. And Judy Price right here to say,
the best in the world and improving all the time. That's the kind of medical care our GIs are getting. And one of the significant advances in saving American wounded has been the new treatment for battle burns, a treatment responsible for converting thousands of serious burn casualties into truly remarkable recoveries. This new treatment includes the surface application of petroleum jelly, and the world's leading brand is reliable, familiar Vaseline petroleum jelly. Yes, Vaseline petroleum jelly is a most effective aid in treating burns. There's just nothing better for minor household burns. If you're out of Vaseline petroleum jelly, be sure to get a jar or a convenient tube for your medicine chest. And when anyone in your family suffers a minor burn, just spread Vaseline petroleum jelly on fine mesh gauze and place over the burn. Bandage firmly, not tightly. Of course, if the burn is deep or covers a wide area, always call the doctor. And remember, there are many petroleum jellies on the market, but only one bears the trademark Vaseline. That trademark, owned by the Cheeseboro Manufacturing Company, is your guarantee of absolute purity. And now here is Jean Hershel.
Thank you very much. The young author of tonight's prize play is Louise Pickens of Charlotte, North Carolina, who is employed as a stenographer accountant and makes a spare time hobby of writing. This is her first radio play to appear on a national network. Next week, we plan to present a new prize play called The Wolf Cried Navy Blue by William G. Weston of Providence, Rhode Island. We invite you all to hear the Vaseline program next Wednesday evening. I should also like to extend a personal invitation to all of our listeners to tune in to the Columbia Network's Big Stars in the Afternoon program at 2:55 p.m. Eastern Wartime next Sunday. And until then, I'll say good night.
Man, unruly hair, loose dandruff, and itchy tightness are signs of dry scalp. Start using Vaseline Hair Tonic. Vaseline Hair Tonic checks dry scalp quickly, effectively, supplements natural scalp oils. For double care, both scalp and hair, for that well-groomed look, start using Vaseline Hair Tonic. Don't miss next week Dr. Christian Prize play, The Wolf Cried Navy Blue. You'll love it. Bob Anderson speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.